Okay, make sure you're in fellowship as we are looking here in Genesis 9, verses 5 through 7. The requisite requirement for men placed upon them by God Himself in regards to their accountability and responsibility to ensure and promote maximum safety for, if you will, humankind with respect to those who otherwise have no respect for life and determined to engage in homicide or murder. And the accountability is set forward as a sense, if you will, of deterrence to show others that certain SC activities are not to be tolerated in human society. And one of these, obviously, at the top of the list, is respecting the life of another. That's whether it's animal or humans that take the life of another human being. Verse 5 again, and surely I will require the blood belonging to your life. From every beast I will require it. From every man, from every man's brother, I will require the life of the man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And the rationale, the premise for why man is to be held in such high regard is made clear the fact that as his creation, we are the higher creation entity that possess the very image of God in regards to our persons. And that looks at the soul life placed as part of man for all individuals, whether they end up being a believer or unbeliever, is moot. All individuals possess an eternal soul. All individuals possess will. And because of that, because we reflect God in such manner, we are to be held in such esteem by one another as a corporate humanitarian base. We're dealing here now in our notes, page 6, is the language used in regards to the reference to our responsibility and accountability of ensuring capital punishment is carried out in cases such as this. And it's seen in the language as we was looking at point 29, the tight formulation sheds blood and man, then man blood shed is poetic. It's not so prevalent in the English, but in the Hebrew, whoever sheds man blood, in the, literally in the Hebrew, verse 6-8. Whoever sheds the blood of man. That's the order, shed, blood, man. Then in the second part, man, blood in the middle, then the verb is at the end, will be shed. That one is more obvious. So you have this tight formulation, pattern, if you were, would, in regards to the word order, and it's poetic in nature. 30, repeating each word of the first clause in reverse order in the second clause of the verse, emphasizes the strict correspondence of punishment to offense. The punishment is to fit the crime. To what degree the crime might be, so the repercussions should come back at a parallel level. example, Leviticus 24, verses 16 through 22. Verse 16, moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. Try to get that to fly in our society. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. And it isn't through legalized marijuana either. It's with rocks. The alien as well as the native. It didn't make any difference. This is the law of the land. You're a visitor from another nation. You're expected to follow those laws. It's your responsibility to know what those laws are when you go and visit. If you don't like them, then don't go, see. Otherwise, you should respect the rules of their society. And obviously, that is under the divine institution of nationalism, the right of each nation, which is being eroded and tore down through the New World Order today. The alien as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, will be put to death. And then, there's the punishment for that crime. And then the following verses gives us more on the typical level of life in of itself. And if a man takes the life of any human being, he shall surely be put to death, a life for a life. And the one who takes the life of an animal shall make it good, life for life. You kill another person's animal, then you need to replace it as property. And if a man injures his neighbor, just as he has done, so it should be done to him. Goes over and punches a person without cause. Stand him up and let the guy take the best shot back at him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, verse 20, tooth for tooth. Just as he has injured a man, so it shall be inflicted on him. It's really a sad commentary that Muslim nations are about the only nations that really hold to these types of legal principles. But anyway, doesn't excuse them, I'm just saying. Thus the one who kills an animal shall make it good, but the one who kills a man shall be put to death. And they're recognizing the difference of one being created in the image of God and the other not. There shall be one standard for you. It shall be the strangers. There shall be one standard for you. In other words, you don't have different standards for different levels of where one is in society, economically, politically, and otherwise. You know, like our Congress and people like to do, make laws for men and excuse themselves from the jurisdiction. If anything should not be tolerated by the society of America, it's that. That's just, to me, just shows you how we really don't care as a country. It's all lip service. There shall be one standard for you. It shall be for the stranger as well as the nation, for I am the Lord your God. That's the way, obviously, we try to operate as a church, a local church, one standard for everybody. Well, we can't show partiality. See, we're not to. You take doctrine. Doctrine's what lines things out and make any difference what relationship one may have to another or the church itself otherwise. Then Moses spoke to the sons of Israel, and they brought the one who had cursed outside the camp and stoned him with stones. So they carried it out. Thus the sons of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded Moses. You can imagine why King David had so many enemies, took opportunity to jump on his failures, because he was the type of king to carry this stuff out. Let's see. 31, man's unique status of possessing an eternal soul explains why human life is to be specially protected, but animal life is not. Obviously, you're to be good stewards of the creation. Not be idiots about it, but still, higher value is definitely placed upon human life over animal life. Even though, again, what is wrong is right, and what is right is wrong in our society, you begin to wonder. 32, because of possessing a higher spiritual essence among lower creation, God insists on the death penalty for murder. It is not simply permission and authorization to carry these things out. It is a command. It is a command. And it's designed to parallel and benefit the foundation of the Noahic covenant, where God will no longer wipe out mankind on earth so that life can flourish apart from the danger of that ever happening again. And to not set forth this as an agenda for the survival of the human race depreciates the very grace that God is otherwise extending to the human race on our behalf. 33, societies of men are therefore not only justified, but under divine order are to put to death those within societies that arrogate or claim to themselves a right that is God's alone. Only God has the right to truly remove a person's life at will, if you will. Here he obviously extends the authority and commands man to represent him in the case of murder or homicide in this respect. 34, that right was illustrated regarding Cain's murder of Abel and God's, quote, hands-off policy, end quote, that we saw back in Genesis 4:15, where he tabbed Cain in such a way to make it clear to others that nobody was to take the retribution into their own hands in regards to this person for the murder of his brother Abel. And that showed that only God has that right, truly. Only God has the real right of life over men. With the post-diluvian era now in place, God is passing that authority down to man now to ensure that he would otherwise take out of circulation these SCA types in this regard. Again, you let certain SCAs prevail and exist in societies, then you have what you have. You have chaos, you have high crime, and then, of course, remove everybody's right to defend themselves, and they have their way. 35, the right has now been passed on to men to operate on God's behalf to bring about justice. This verse is rightly stood in the forefront of scriptural documentation for the justification of the death penalty. Indeed, we are justified to have the death penalty on the books, at least for this heinous crime. 37, feeble attempts by capital punishment opponents have been made to manipulate the language, like trying to make the preposition here in the Hebrew bait, which is translated by, denoting the means, to something like in exchange or on account of, making the verse redundant. In other words, verse 6, they've had these attempts. Whoever sheds man's blood, on account of man, his blood is shed. Whoever, on account of them, see, they're just saying that man killed the man. And that make it just redundant. It makes no sense, truly, for the logical, clear-thinking person. But that is what these proponents advocating no capital punishment, religious types, try to do. 38, the Mosaic Law demolishes this nonsense. Well, all right, you did this one verse, now do with the rest of them. What about the rest of these verses? What you doing with those? But obviously this is this one, the impact is universal. Now, obviously they might claim, well, that's just for one nation with the Mosaic Law. But this impact is universal. They don't make any difference how backward pagan a nation may be. They still are under this requisite ordination of God upon men to carry out this type of establishment law. 39, now in verse 7, to finish out these verses, and as for you, be fruitful, multiply, populate the earth abundantly, and multiply in it. In verse 7.39, the positive blessing attached to the covenant that began verse 1 now is repeated with extreme prejudice. Again, as I pointed out, these articles associated with the Noahic flood looks at blessing first. Then with blessing, you have prohibition. You want to maximize your blessing. Then there's certain things that you can't do in life. Then you have accountability. We are all held accountable in regards to the things we do in life. And then it's followed again with another aspect of blessing here in a maximum way. If you will follow these simple rules of life in and of themselves, then you will experience the greatest blessing attainable as a human race. See, that's what it is. Don't do things. Obviously, the emphasis there is don't reject God's word. The emphasis he puts upon the spiritual aspects of life is seen in the term blood. And then be accountable. Quit blaming everybody else. Excusing things, make accountable those things that are to be held accountable. And then you have yourself a real blessing sandwich. So that's kind of a cool aspect of these verses that otherwise is probably overlooked by the readers. So, to close it out, we have an emphasis again on blessing as it pertains to repopulating the planet, and here with extreme prejudice. 40, the verb populate abundantly, our Hebrew word sharats, means to set a goal without limits. Again, this word, as I have pointed out, and I do in the next point, looks to the population of aquatic life, insects, things of that nature, that are so many, so numerous, that it's impossible, usually, to count the numbers there. So 41, the verb was used as to sea creatures, translated teeming, as we saw in chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, and then used with respect to insects, meaning swarms, as used in chapter 7, verse 21. Every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth. So that gives you the visual in regards to man's approach in repopulating the planet. Again, this whole idea of population control that's set forth by certain power-greedy types of individuals, arrogance, is nothing more than human viewpoint. that somehow the earth is going to run out enough space for men to occupy and live on the planet. It's just ridiculous. You can't. It will not happen. God needs to strain out the population. He'll do it himself. He don't need our help. And it's kind of ironic, or dealing with this, and I made reference to China in an earlier class, and now they're coming back and saying they're lifting the law of one child per family. They're a country, obviously, that was operating big time, and we don't have enough space. Well, it's just a crock. That's all it is. Besides that, they got to get that population up for that million man marching soldiers ready for us right around the corner. And as they're proclaiming along with Russia and everybody else, we're not scared of the United States anymore. Our bite is gone. It's nothing but bark almost. So the verb to populate abundantly, to teem with life, looks at repopulating the planet without any qualms in regards to having too many people. So 42, here it is used strictly with regard to human population growth in the post-diluvian era. 43, this verse stands in contrast to all homicidal activity otherwise. It comes on the heels of making sure that you execute murderers in your society. And obviously, there is a certain contrast that is presented. 44, Noah and his sons are to be both life protectors and producers. Both sides of the coin are our responsibility as man. 45, as protectors, they are to see to it that those that would, for whatever reasons, choose to kill their fellows are themselves executed. Obviously, as producers, it is self-explanatory. 46, every single violation of this injunction, be it based on individual, national, or ideological grounds, is here condemned. God condemns any thinking contrary to this. And if it makes you squeamish to think about this and things of that nature, well, good. That's what it's supposed to do. That's the kind of impact it's supposed to have. To make you think twice before you do something stupid, see. 47, the command to execute murders, obviously, is seen in the New Testament in Romans 13, 3 through 4. The divine law, seeing that it's being carried on throughout history, is obviously presented in the New Testament as one might expect in the proper orientation to the authority structure of society. Verse 1, let every soul be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. It's not defined whether they're good or bad authorities. This is every authority. God knows, God establishes to fulfill his purpose in regards to his plan for mankind, see, at whatever level. And hence, we are to maintain that attitude when we deal with these authorities, no matter whether they be high in the political ranks as presidents and things of that nature, or, you know, lesser authorities, even people that may be working for the state or our local governments in that regards. In verse 2, because of the principle of God establishing all authority, we have verse 2, therefore he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance or the statute of God. just as those who want to do away with the death penalty. They're opposing the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. It'll come back on society. They'll reap the penalties of those who otherwise rebel in regards to authority. I mean, obviously God has a plan for our nation, but in spite of the fact that, yes, we have Christian layout and foundation in regards to the laws of our nation. You know, people often wonder, well, you know, some of these people were Masons. Well, okay, fine. Big deal. But still, you got to recognize Satan has a hand in all this stuff that's going on. And we are a nation established based on rebellion. And that rebellious nature, it's taken a couple hundred years, is now starting to dominate as it now is going in opposition in regards to the divine structure which our nation was essentially initially founded on. So it's just those things, you know, with doctrine, you look back and certain things you can see that maybe you wouldn't be privy to in regards to normal education systems and things of this nature. But anyway, just one of those things, like, you know, you think about things. And, why do we wait for our freedom? Boston Tea Party. Go out there and spill all that tea. Bring some lemon. But anyway, it's just the irony, a lot of irony, and a lot of paradoxes that you can find in regards to things. But obviously, it's been a big blessing for those who have been part of the system and part of this country. Otherwise, in the temporal time of freedom that was given it, has been given it for worship. Anyway, back to our subject at hand, verse 3. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. You don't have to worry about the police department if you're not breaking the law. You're not flashing all the gang signs. Yeah. If somebody waves a joint in the air, you don't wonder why they get pulled over. Same principle. You know, you want to act like a gangster. You want to act like a criminal. Don't be surprised when people got their eye on you. People bring on themselves basically the things that fall upon them. See, you don't have to worry about them in regards to the evil. They're established to maintain maximum freedom for us as a society under divine ordinance of God. Yeah, some of them have gotten out of hand over the centuries, like in Germany and things of this nature. But either way, it evens out in the wash, if you will. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. And then for our intents and purposes here, for it is the minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. That looks at capital execution. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. So, we see that the ordinance of God is designed to sustain the entire remaining history of mankind and is further documented in the New Testament in that vein. All right, moving on here. In verses 8 through 11 now, we have the covenant, the Noahic covenant, confirmed. See if it's going to work. Yay. Then Noah spoke to Noah and to his sons. Then God spoke to Noah. Noah's not talking to himself. And his sons with him, saying, wow, consecutive, or cal in perfect third masculine singular verb to say here, Amar, A-M-A-R, God, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. Again, in the plural, the im on the end. That I mean the Godhead. To Noah, preposition El, E-L, proper noun, Noach, Noah. And to his sons with him, vowel conjunction, preposition El repeated. Then his sons is a common masculine plural noun construct with the third masculine singular suffix ben, B-E-N. With him is a preposition, third masculine singular suffix eth, E-T-H. Then you have the infinitive construct denoting the reason for speaking is to say certain words. You have the preposition lamed, which usually introduces a purpose infinitive, followed with a cal infinitive construct of the verb, again, amar, repeated. And he addressed, spoke, and I would translate it, and he addressed Noah, because you have two different actions going on here. God, to Noah, and to his sons with him, saying. So he addresses them, and he speaks. Verse 9, now behold, I myself to establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. Wow conjunction. Then you have the pronoun, personal pronoun, first common singular, ani, A-N-I-Y. Followed with the interjectory particle, first common singular, hige, H-I-G-G-E-H. Now I myself behold to establish my covenant with you. You had the hifil participle, masculine singular absolute, our verb cum, Q-U-M, do cause to stand literally, hence establish or confirm, plus the sign of the direct object. To note what he is causing to stand here is my covenant, common feminine singular construct with the first common singular suffix, our word for covenant, berith, B-E-R-I-T-H. With you, our preposition, eth, with the second masculine plural suffix again, E-T-H. And with your descendants after you, wow conjunction, again a preposition, eth, with. Then the common masculine singular construct with the second masculine plural suffix, translated descendants here, Zera, Z-E-R-A, literally, and with your seed, descendants. After you is the adverb with the second masculine plural suffix, Akare, A-C-H-A-R-E-Y. And with every living creature that is with you, verse 10, wow conjunction, preposition eth, with, then every living creature, we have our typical construct here, our noun kol, every, or all, K-O-L, in the construct, followed with our noun for life, physical life, breathing life, common feminine singular absolute, nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H. And with every breathing, as we would translate it, then living thing, a definite article, and is followed with their adjective, feminine singular, absolute, K, C-H-A-Y. Every breathing living thing, literally, that is with you, that or which, relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R. And then preposition eth again, with the second masculine plural suffix. Then he lists the animals here, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you. Preposition bait, plus a definite article, the common masculine singular absolute or noun for birds, oph, O-P-H. You might pronounce, translated among, the preposition bait, among the birds in the sphere of, is the idea of the genus here. Then the preposition bait, same construction, definite article, and our word for beast here, common feminine singular absolute, behema, B-E-H-E-M-A. While conjunction, preposition bait, and then our noun coal inserted in, followed with a common feminine singular construct, kaya, C-H-A-Y-Y-A-H. Every living thing, literally, of the earth, definite article, common feminine singular absolute, erets, E-R-E-T-S. Among the birds, among the beasts, among every living thing of the earth with you. Of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth. Preposition men, from all, or from, follow with our noun for all. Common masculine singular again, kol, K-O-L. From all coming out of, you have the cow participle, masculine plural, our verb, yatsar, Y-A-T-S-A-R. The ark, definite article, our noun for ark, common feminine singular absolute, tebah, T-E-B-A-H. Then you have the preposition lamed, with the noun kol, common masculine singular construct, and then the noun common feminine singular construct, kaya, repeated, C-H-A-Y-Y-A-H. Of the earth, definite article, erets, common feminine singular again, absolute, to every living thing of the earth, literally. Verse 11, and I establish my covenant with you. While consecutive, plus the hifil, perfect, first common singular, of the verb kum, to again cause to stand, Q-U-M, establish, sign of direct object, my covenant, common feminine singular construct with the first common singular suffix, berith, E-R-I-T-H, with you all, literally, preposition F with the second masculine plural suffix, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood. Now we have the meat of the covenant given. While conjunction, followed with the negative particle lo, L-O, plus the nifal, imperfect third masculine singular of the verb karath, K-A-R-A-T-H. I will not cut off, hence eliminate, in this context, all flesh. Something he will not do in the negative. All again is our noun kol, followed with a noun for flesh, common masculine singular absolute, bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R. Then you have the preposition od, O-D, all flesh again. Then you have the preposition men, from, should not be cut off, all flesh, again, from water, literally. Common masculine plural construct, mayim, waters, M-A-Y-I-M, waters of the flood, the cause of the waters of the flood, definite article, common masculine singular absolute, mabul, M-A-B-B-U-L, our term for flood. Men translated because of the waters of the flood. Neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. So he makes it very clear that he calls off any type of execution of wrath in this way again. Wow conjunction, again, the negative particle lo, and then it's followed here with a cal imperfect or masculine singular hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. And then the preposition ode, repeated O-D, and our word for flood, common masculine singular noun, absolute mabul, repeated. Literally, and it will not come to pass again, a flood. To destroy the earth, preposition lamed, introducing the PL here, infinitive verb construct, shakath, S-H-A-C-H-A-T-H. Resulting in utterly destroying or ruining. He wiped off the planet, basically. The earth, definite article, in our typical noun for earth, eretz. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, can utilize us to see things in Jesus' name. Amen.